Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Fun Friday. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which are alike. My first guest is a management consultant and best-selling business author. He's written the management book he wished he had when he started in business. We'll discuss his latest book, Being the Boss. My second guest is a recovering former collegiate baseball player who's turned to journalism. He's written about an underreported episode in President Ronald Reagan's presidency, the attempted assassination by John Hinckley Jr. Wednesday marks the 30th anniversary of that attempt. We'll talk to him about his book, Rawhide Down. My third guest is perfect for Fun Friday. We all have to work, even on Friday, but she's written the book to find ways to make work fun. We'll discuss 301 ways to have fun at work. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Ken Lineback has spent 30 years as a manager and an executive in business and government, and now he's a writer and a collaborator. He's the co-author with Radney Komizar of the best-selling book, The Monk and the Riddle. His latest book, Being the Boss, is a collaboration with his new co-author, Linda Hill. Welcome to the show, Kent. How are you today?
Thank you, Bill. I'm fine, and I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, thank you for being our guest. I always love to talk to thought leaders. What I liked about your book and what makes it so interesting is that you really look at what it's like to be a boss in today's environment. I mean, it's harder today than ever to balance getting the best from your people, meeting organizational goals, meeting customer demands, and also preparing yourself for greater challenges down the line. And what I liked about your book is that you really explode some of the myths of what it's like being a boss today versus maybe what it was like being a boss in the 50s. So let's start with just the basic concept. You know, back in the 50s, being a boss was all about authority. Today, you say, though, it's something completely different. How is it different today?
Well, I think people are a lot less inclined for a lot of reasons. Generational changes. A lot has happened since the 50s. People in the 50s had pretty much served in World War II. They were used to a command and control environment. We've gone through the 60s and 70s now. There's a lot of water under the bridge. People are far less inclined to automatically accept authority as a basis for influence. And so now it takes a lot more. We're not saying that influence is you can't use authority at all anymore. It's certainly very useful in many situations. But if you depend on authority as the way to get things done, you're going to be disappointed.
All right. Now, what is the relationship between interdependence of workers, their bosses, and even people who aren't in the direct line of command? How does that interdependency weave its way into the modern workplace?
Well, one of the ways that we found, and my co-author, Linda Hill, who's a professor at Harvard, has done a lot of research in this area. She's looked at people making the transition into management, and I, of course, have my own experience, and I've worked with lots of people making that transition. One of the reasons it's very difficult is there's an impression among people who aren't yet managers that when they become the boss, they will be in charge. They will get to decide the agenda. They will control all the things and the levers that they need to get the work done. and they're shocked to discover that, in fact, they depend on lots of people. And it's not just the people who work for them, but people all over the organization and people outside the organization. And they don't have any formal control over them. And so what they find is, instead of independence, they find interdependence. And that's a hard thing to get used to.
Oh, it absolutely is. Well, talk to me about the sources of power. Because in the old days, you know, you became a manager, I'm the director of this, I'm director of that. You immediately had power vested in you by the title. Today, what's the real source of power? It's not this formal authority, but it's more of what would you say?
Well, we say in the book that there are three ways that you influence others, and I'm going to use the word influence, but power is the ability to influence others. So it's a fine distinction, but I almost use them interchangeably. We say there are three sources of influence in the book, and authority is one of them, but it's not the key one. The key one is trust, to begin with, in the relationship you have with the people who work for you and the relationships you have with others. It has to begin with trust. If there's no trust to begin with, then you're not going to get very far. Let me come back later and talk about what makes up trust.
But okay,
that's the first point, is you need to have trust. It can't be authority, just authority. It can't be personal. People aren't your friends, for example. So trust is the first one. The second one is you need a network of relationships. Now, network has become kind of a buzzword now, and people turn off on it. But you need a web of relationships. You need to create connections, ongoing connections, with all the people that you work with, whether they work for you or not. And you need to maintain those relationships. The worst way to build a relationship is when you have a problem. If you see someone only when you or they have a problem, that's not a good foundation. The third source of influence or power that we talk about is you need to, in addition to build trust, which comes out of managing yourself and managing your network, you need to manage the people who work for you, but in particular, you need to create a team out of them, a cohesive group. And if you manage them one by one, you're going to lose a lot of your ability to influence what they do.
All right. So influence is important. What about some of the key challenges? Because the challenges for managers today, as I said at the outset, are different, Kent, than they were back in the 50s. In the 50s, basically, a manager was there to protect the boss from the day-to-day workings of what's going on in that department or that area. In other words, the manager had to cope with today. How is that different from the key challenges that a manager in today's modern organization faces?
Well, I think one of the key ways is that we talk in the book about the paradoxes of management, the need to balance what seem to be contradictory needs. We need to deal with the individuals who work for us as individuals, but we need to deal with them primarily as a team and to motivate them as members of a team. And so you have this constant tension between people who are saying, treat me as an individual, and the team that says we want to be a team that works together. You have the need to deal with today, but you're constantly in a world now that's changing rapidly and is far more competitive than it was. You need to be constantly thinking about tomorrow and what's going to be happening, so that you're constantly juggling the need for how do I get results today versus how do I get results tomorrow.
And I guess it all does come down to results, or what people in more modern terms are calling outcomes. So in the old days, the desired outcome was basically a manager had control and he got compliance from his people. How has that changed today from the modern employee?
Well, as I said earlier, the people you find in the workplace today, in fact, there are now four generations that work in the workplace, starting with baby boomers,
mm-hmm.
going all the way up through, I guess now they prefer to be called millennials.
Right.
And we're probably on the verge of yet another generation. There is still even some pre-baby boomers in the workplace.
Traditionals, as we call them.
Yeah, traditionals. Pre-World War II and pre, the financial crisis led a lot of those to stick around. They're not able to retire yet. So there's this broad diversity of people in the workplace, and you need to manage them differently, but happening is that Gen X, which follows the baby boomers, and then Gen Y or millennials, and whatever's coming on their heels, as I said, the authority is not such a big deal for them. They're not as willing to ask how high on the way up when someone says jump. They want to know the reason why. They want to participate. They want to feel part of the team. You have to guide the group much more than you direct it or control it.
Oh, I like that. Guide more than you can control. We're talking to Ken Lineback, everybody, author of the book, Being the Boss, The Three Imperatives for Becoming a Great Leader. So I guess we've been dancing around this, Kent, for some time. What are the three imperatives?
Okay. There are lots of things you have to do to be a good boss. And we like the word boss because it gets away from this manage versus lead kind of thing. Leadership has had a lot of play these last few years. You have to do it all. So we say boss.
Okay.
What's it take to be a good boss? You can make a list of 25 things, and lots of books do that. But we've boiled it down to three things, and under each, of course, there are lots of pieces. But the three major, we call them imperatives, as you said, are manage yourself. That is, it really matters what kind of person you are. And are you someone who can be trusted? Trusted means two components. One is, are you competent? Do people believe in your competence? And second, do they believe in your character? That is, your intentions. Do you want the right things? Do you care about them? So manage yourself, which is trust.
Okay.
The ability to build trust. Second is manage your network. That is the ability and inclination to create a network, this web of relationships that you create around the work that you have to do of all the people who are involved. You want to build an ongoing set of relationships so that you and they can collaborate in doing your work and theirs. That's this whole interdependence phenomenon
that we talked about earlier. Now, yeah. This is interesting because you talk about the realities within an organization. You have to be aware of the realities. But the formal structure, the reality on paper within an organization is oftentimes very different than the reality in reality, where things get done differently. So talk to me about that, because the boss really has to understand the reality and not just what's on the paper, doesn't he or she?
Bill, if you don't mind, let me go back and just finish. The third imperative
is
manage your team.
Sure.
That is, create a cohesive team out of the people who work for you. Okay. Now, ask me again.
All right. The reality of an organization is oftentimes different than what's on paper or what the structure is, you know, to the shareholders and that kind of thing, because that has to be done up for the outside world to see. But the way in which work actually gets done is the way in which work actually gets done, not necessarily the lines and boxes on a piece of paper. So the boss today has to understand the reality. Talk to me about that reality and understanding the difference between necessarily what's formally on paper and what is real, and how do you use the back channels to get things done?
Well, what you have to understand is that every organization is political, and I don't mean that in a bad way. There is office politics, which are bad. They're dysfunctional, and they're people seeking their own ends, not the good of the organization. But all organizations, because there's a division of labor, because that is, you hire specialists who do different things. It's so complex that you can't hire somebody who can do everything. Secondly, all those people are interdependent. And third, there's not enough resources to go around. That all guarantees in every organization, whether it's religious, military, not-for-profit, commercial, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreement about what to do. And what you have to figure out is the way conflict gets resolved is through influence. People who have influence in an organization are the ones who get the resources and the attention they need. So you have to figure out who has real influence. That may or may not parallel what the organization chart says. Now, if someone is CEO, he or she will have a lot of influence automatically, but if you have a line of, say, vice presidents or directors or department heads, their influence is going to vary quite a bit. And you have to figure out, who does the organization listen to? Who gets what they want? And those are the people that you have to be aware of and you have to deal with. Those are the ones you need to convince if you want something.
Oh, very sound advice. We're talking to Kent Lineback, everybody, author of the book Being the Boss. Kent, what do you want readers to take away from reading this new book?
You know, that's a good question. And nobody's asked me that question. I'd like them to take away the three imperatives. We find so many times that people think managing is about dealing with the people who work directly for them. And they think it's about a formal role. It's not about them. In fact, it is about them. Management starts with you and who you are, what kind of person you are.
Hmm.
Secondly, it's not just the people you work for. You work in a context, the larger organization. And your team cannot be effective if you're not effective at managing that whole context. So it's the three things. It's not just managing your people. It's managing the context, the organization around them, and it's managing yourself.
I think it's a wonderful book. Kent Lineback is the author of Being the Boss, The Three Imperatives for Becoming a Great Leader. Kent, if people like what you have to say, they want to get into more detail, learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, there are two sites. One is there is a site for the book, which is called beingtheboss.com, Being the Boss, one word. There is also, it's published by the Harvard Business Review Press, and if you go to hbr.org, you will find your way there. You'll find that there's a book section, and in that book section there's a microsite. So either place, beingtheboss.com or hbr.org, and then look for the book. You can search for the book there.
All right, Kent. Well, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Pleasure to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.